Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us to come together and study your word. Lord, thank you for all the many blessings that you bestowed upon us. Please be with us now as we give back a portion of those blessings, that we do it in a manner that is well and pleasing to you. These things we ask in Jesus.
Stopwatch. Check. Lesson and Bible. We're off to a good start. Before I get started, I've just got to say what a privilege it is for me to stand up here and address this group of Christians that meets here because of the enormous effect that you've had on not only my life as a Christian and as a husband and as a father, but on the life of my children and my wife as well. It's been, you know, really amazing as people have asked me in the past, you know, what is your story? You know, how'd you become a Christian? Did you grow up in the church? And being able to tell my story it just reminds me how important the body truly is. And although getting up and speaking is maybe not my favorite thing to do, when Rick called me a few weeks ago and asked me if I would speak this morning, I absolutely jumped at the chance because I want each and every one of you to know how much you have meant to the souls in my family and maybe through that some souls somewhere else that we've been able to touch. And I want to share that with you to encourage you while at the same time, you know, talking about, you know, the seriousness of our faith and our walk and our meaningfulness in how we address our family and our kids. So bear with me through the rambling and the ums and all the other things my kids tell me that I do when I speak in front of people, and remember that it's the message and not the messenger that's important this morning. So I'll start off with a little background on me and Diane and kind of how we got started. You know, Rick alluded to a little bit what our story was. You know, there's a lot of people in this room that were here for the beginning of that story, but there's a few that aren't. So I'll share that with you. I moved up to Happy in the summer of 1995. Diane and I were engaged. She had a year left in school. I got a job at the feed yard south of town here. So I came to Happy, found a place to live, and, you know, so the journey started. I was not a member of the church at the time. Diane was, kinda. We both had a lot of growth at that time. And, you know, through that first, you know, summer and fall, we knew that as a young married couple, we wanted to be involved in church. We just didn't know exactly, you know, what that looked like yet. Like Rick said, you know, Diane had attended the Church of Christ when she was growing up, and I thought, well, hey, you know, I'll go there and check that place out. And I did, and through getting acquainted with some of the members here, I began to learn something that changed my life. And what I learned was people that I met here lived their life as a Christian 7 days a week. It wasn't one thing you do on Sunday when you prepare to go to worship, and then the rest of the week you go do something else. It was every day of the week you honored God with the way you lived your life. I recognized that and decided that's what I want. That's what I've been after my whole life, and I didn't even know it because I'd never seen it before. So we're going to kind of start there and move forward. And I'm going to start off, and I've got some scripture that I'm going to read. Some of them are a little lengthy, and I guess I'll just have to ask for you to bear with me as I read through some of these. The first one is in 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 16. It says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him, for whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." When you realize that there's something that you want, you don't know exactly how to get there, You just have to start. You have to start learning what it takes to do that. I realized that. I think Diane and I realized that together at the time. And when we made that choice that we wanted to be set apart, we wanted to be set apart from the world, it put us in the direction that we've veered from, you know, probably many, many times in our marriage, but at least we started down that road. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and starting in verse 13, it says, "Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." All right, so there was an education that needed to take place. And that education started primarily with some Bible studies that we did at Tim and Mevelin's house, and we did with Rick and Carolyn. And I remember like it was yesterday, Diane and I going to the Mowdy's, having a meal, and sitting down in the living room when all the Mowdy boys and the Mowdy girls were this tall, and studying in 1 Corinthians. Good times. And the effect that had, it again solidified that we were on the right path. In January of 1997, as we were studying with Rick and Carolyn, through a very deliberate study, I'm sure from Rick's point, we got to a point one cold January night that I basically felt like, man, today is the day. I mean, I need to be baptized, and I need to do it right now. And I did, right here. And if you didn't know, there is no heat in that water right there. And in January, it was some kind of cold. In the grand scheme of things, though, that really didn't matter. So that point kind of started us. And all of this rambling that I'm doing is trying to get around to this point. As we talk about being serious as a family and being serious about our faithfulness with our kids, we've got to be serious as a church about raising babes in Christ. We've got to do the hard things. We've got to do the day-to-day things that allows the youngsters, the kids, the babes to grow. And what Diane and I found out is that we really liked the culture and the support and the love that we received from the church, from this congregation. And that's really what continued to spur us to come back, to want more, to get more involved. What else can we do? How can we get more of that? And it was because of the love that was shown here to us for that. As you start off, and you know, obviously as a babe in Christ, you know, I'm taken. You know, everybody's loving, everybody's feeding, everybody's studying with us, and we're taking that in. We're taking that in. And at some point, year, 2, 3 years later, you kind of get to the point where you become part of the church. You're not just taken anymore. Now you're becoming part of the church and can start giving back a little bit as new people come, as new challenges come. Day by day, month by month, year by year, you just got to keep growing your faith. What does it mean to be serious about your faith? Well, I thought about that quite a bit after Rick called, and you can think about that a lot of different ways, but what it boils down to is you have to be willing to put in the time, all the time, for a long time, to be serious about your faith. And we've probably all had opportunities in our life and our study where we get really zealous for the Word and we study, and then it kind of fades away. And then you kind of come back up at times and you fade away. If we're going to really get serious about our faith, we've got to be in it for the long haul. Now, this is, I told the girls before we came this morning, I said, now, there's part of the lesson, and when I get to it, you cannot laugh out loud. Because part of what we do, part of the lesson is things that we've done. Part of the lesson is things that we should have done when we were raising our kids. But eye rolling is okay. Laughing out loud, not okay. So we'll see how they do here. But while Diane and I were learning what it meant to be Christians, the kids, as we started having, you know, we had Haley and then Macy and then Emily, and we didn't know what we were doing raising kids. We didn't know what it meant really to be Christians ourselves. But by blessing, by the love of God and by the love of the church, they just kept coming with us, you know. Whether it was worship or some gathering or some Bible study, whatever it was, they came with us. And so, in their minds, you know, their way of life, they became, you know, enveloped in that atmosphere of being around this group, around Christians, around God's love. As we spent the next, or have spent the next 20 years raising kids, I came up with 9 random points and observations that I want to share with you rather briefly this morning that we kind of think are important in the family development and raising our kids up in the right way. Number one, God is patient. And hallelujah for that. Because there are many things where we are very slow to learn. And having a patient God gives us the opportunity to fail and try again and know that it's not one strike and you're out. So, God is patient. Number two, kids are sponges. Or babes in Christ are sponges. And that's a great thing, and that's a scary thing at the same time. They want to imitate what you do. And that's great when you're doing the right things. But man, it's miserable when you're doing the wrong things and they want to imitate that as well. In 3 John, the first chapter, it says, "Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God." In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." Be careful the example that you're showing your kids, because they will imitate you, because they are eager to learn. Number three, the church is vital. In Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3, it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. I can't overemphasize how important you are to the spiritual growth of people in this body. Why is it so important to worship together? Why is it so important to show up? Part of that is for our own edification, absolutely. But I would contest that what it does for others has such a profound effect that you might not even realize. That's where the true importance of coming together and being part of the body truly is. Number four, consistency is crucial. We have to give God the opportunity to work in our life and in our children's life. Again, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, if you want your kids to go to church, take them. If you want others in the community to come to church, let them see you there. If you want to learn more about the Bible, come to Bible class. Bring your kids to Bible class. If worship is important to you, then come and worship. Not come fill a pew, but come and truly worship God while you're here. If you want your kids to have friends that are good influences, then you need to have friends that are good influences. Surround yourself with people that you would want your kids to be surrounded by. You want your kids to be involved in the youth group? You be involved in the whatever group at church. You be involved in the youth group. You be involved in whatever is going on. If you want your kids to study the Bible at home, let them see you study in the Bible at home. Consistency is crucial. If you want your kids to spend time with you, be willing to spend time with them. You know, kind of back to AJ's lesson this morning, you're going to spend the most time doing the things that are most important to you. Make sure that your priority list is lined up the way you want it. Modeling is exponentially more effective than preaching. If you want your kids, your friends, your spouse to do certain things, don't tell them how to do those things. Show them how to do those things. Number five, you need to be dedicated. In Romans chapter 12, first couple of verses, it says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Be dedicated to the word. Number 6, it's a marathon, not a sprint. We touched on this earlier, but Christianity, faithfulness, it's methodical. It's daily. It's hourly. It's every decision that you have to make. It's thinking about the impact of that decision. Don't get caught up in a sprint mentality. And I'm going to get to a finish line when it comes to your Christian walk. It's a lifetime of decisions, not a short period of time of, you know, exertion. Number 7, we fail. We try and we fail. Our kids try and they fail. And you know what? That's part of life. And our response to that needs to be to not give up. When you fail, accept it and do it again. Start over. In the 3rd chapter of Romans, starting in verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Number 8, forgiveness must be given and taken. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. When we forgive others, is it for them or is it for us? And finally, number 9, God wants us to spend eternity with Him. It's not about tricks. It's not about trying to make you stumble and to make you fail. God wants us to spend eternity with Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Raising faithful children is not quick or easy or clear or honestly even necessary. Raising faithful children is deliberate, it's time-consuming, it's involved, it's prayerful, but it is absolutely a blessing. Put the time in, because it's worth it for you and for your kids. Maybe you're ready to get serious about your walk and about your faith. And if you are, now's the time. You can come forward. I'm sure any prayer request, any need that you have can be met as we stand and sing.
I ask you to go ahead and mark at this time number 311. 311. And then if you would, turn to number 646. 646. And in the last verse, we're going to have a little change in the time in the middle of the last verse, so be ready for that. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my
all the Christ is all, and all the Christ is all, and all the Christ is all. this covenant is blood. Support me in that when we fled, when all around my soul is wet. In this all my hope and say, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all on the ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
You can remain standing. I just wanted to say this. We appreciate so much that excellent message. That was certainly worth coming for. We're here to worship God and to remember what Christ did for us. But what a fine lesson that was, and we appreciate it. We're looking forward to Sam's this evening. We pray that and hope that each one of y'all will come back if you can. And then this week we have Brock on Monday.